This is podcast number 13 for the Well-Educated Mother's Heart. I'm Marlene Peterson, and today I'm answering some of your questions. Well, we've made it to podcast number 13. I hope that's not an unlucky number. I've spent the last several podcasts trying to clarify the basics and philosophy behind the Well-Educated Heart, and next week I'm going to start drawing lessons from the rotation schedule. But before I move on, I invited members of the Facebook group to post questions they still have. A couple of moms asked about the Well-Educated Heart for high schoolers, and I covered what I have to say about that in podcast number 10. There was also a question on notebooking, and if you go to podcast number 7, I give an overview of the why behind it. And in the program notes is an hour-long presentation with examples of the how. And podcast number 8 was a video presentation on how to capture and print out images for your notebooking pages. If you missed those and have questions on notebooking, that's a good place to start. I'll continue to talk about it, though, as we move forward and share some of my own notebooking pages, although it's really an individualized thing. Do what works for you. So that brings us to the first question that I will address in this podcast. The big question homeschoolers get a lot. What about socialization? Remember that whole sense impression thing Pestalozzi talked about? Well, here's a great example of how those sense impressions work on us. My husband loved the social part of school. He had great friends and was involved in sports and overall has really happy memories of school. When he thinks socialization, that's what comes to his mind. And I suspect there are many of you moms and dads who also have happy memories and want your kids to experience what you experienced. I, on the other hand, had a completely different social experience. I was the gangly nerd with the sparkly pink wing-tipped glasses and braces who stood a head taller than my classmates. I was always the last one to be picked for teams. And I heard the groans when a team had to accept me, and I was often made fun of because I was a brainiac. I still carry the scars of school socialization. Independent of your experiences, what exactly is the socialization going on in school that people are so concerned about? Is it the 6 or so hours sitting at desks where you're told to not talk to your neighbors? Is it the very unnatural environment where you, for 12 or 13 years, interact only with kids your own age? Is it the part where you are daily compared and evaluated against those peers? If there is socialization going on at school, most of it is happening in drama class, PE, sports, music, art, debate, or clubs. Every one of those activities is open to homeschoolers. In fact, because they don't have the 6 hours sitting in a classroom behind a desk, they actually have more time to participate and socialize. My 5 little granddaughters, ages 3 to 12, go to karate a couple of days a week. What a great experience that has been, as they have formed friendships in an environment where the instructor teaches them all respect and discipline and service. They interact with children who are older than them and younger than them in the same class. In such an environment, bullying is less likely to happen because the big kids are rooting and cheering for the little ones, and the little ones have the big kids to look up to and be inspired by. There's an endless list of ways children can get together with other children in wholesome environments and socialize. Dance, community theater, community orchestras and choirs, volunteering at museums or equestrian centers or senior care centers, sports of all kinds, and all kinds of recreational activities, art and craft classes, church activities, Boy Scouts. They can sign up for enrichment classes. Many schools allow homeschoolers to enroll for one or more classes of their choosing. My son picked band and basketball. A couple of daughters picked choir. I had a daughter who wanted to play with her friends at the elementary school down the street during the lunch recess. The administration wouldn't let her because she wasn't a student. Well, I looked it up, and the law defined a student as someone who was enrolled in school for at least 1 hour. So I enrolled her in recess. Recess wasn't quite an hour, but they were fine with her reading a book in the office for the last 20 minutes. They got money for her as a student, and my daughter got to play with her friends. It was a win-win. The rest of the day we got to do all the other things we wanted to do. We all hear about socially awkward homeschoolers. Well, guess what? I've met socially awkward public schoolers. I was one of them. Public school isn't a guarantee against social awkwardness. The bigger issue isn't about a lack of opportunities to socialize our kids. The bigger issue is one addressed by Dr. Gordon Newfield. I think I've referred you to him at least 3 times in the last 3 weeks. If you haven't listened to the talk I posted, I'll post it in the notes again for this podcast, and I will encourage you again to take the time to listen. And if you're on board with homeschooling but you have a spouse that's holding back because of the socialization issue, invite him or her to listen with you. Dr. Newfield reminds us that attachment is a preeminent need for all creatures. We will hopefully attach ourselves to many things and many people throughout our lives. We need to feel connected. But nature has designed that the primary attachment be to the parent who helps the young get his bearings, to teach what really matters, what's important, and instill good values. In his studies, he has determined a very noticeable shift in the 1960s to where those primary attachments are to peers rather than parents. In the name of socialization, we are attaching our children to other children who are not capable of teaching their peers how to act, and we're seeing the fallout. Dr. Newfield explains it so eloquently and simply. I would be bold enough to say that watching this video may be a life changer for you. When you understand these attachments, you probably won't be so eager to socialize your little ones, but rather you'll want to strengthen the bonds and relationship with home and family first before sending them out into the world. It's a fact that children who gain a strong sense of identity and core values from home are much more confident and less prone to be swayed by peers when they do start socializing more outside the home. From the time our first daughter was born until our last one left home, we moved 13 different times. The one constant in my children's lives was family. While they developed friendships wherever we lived, the friendship that has remained is with siblings. When they moved to a new area, they had each other first, and that gave them more confidence. Today, their siblings are their best friends. When work or the world beats them up, it's to their siblings, home, and family they turn. I don't think that's a bad thing at all. The second question I'll address is tied into the first one. A mom asked for ideas for family home evening. Let me explain family home evening first to those of you who may have never heard of this. It's something you may want to adopt in your own home. Years ago, the leadership of my church counseled members to block out Monday evening for family home evenings. That meant no outside meetings were to be held, no outside activities. In fact, we were told to not even call each other on Monday evenings so that families could connect with each other in our otherwise busy, crazy, and chaotic world. In the beginning, we were provided lesson manuals, but that has gone by the wayside, which I think is good. As a child, it felt too programmed and too stiff. There were always groans in my family. I heard it said, and it certainly frequently applied to my family, that family home evening was the only fight that opened and closed with prayer. But it's a wonderful gift to families if done in the right spirit. The specific question asked how well-educated heart principles could apply to make it more enjoyable and meaningful. I hope you know the first one by now, that force and compulsion will work against you. Are you holding it out of duty or out of a genuine desire to spend time with your family? Are you teaching out of that same sense of duty, or are there truths you feel in your heart that you want to share with your children? Tend to your own heart first, then teach by heart. The details of what happens there are less important than the impressions of those times together. It can be an evening of playing games or answering questions or informal conversation. It doesn't have to be a formal lesson. We couldn't hold it every week, but as often as possible, there was at least a Monday night tradition of family home evening treats that were looked forward to. Allowing children to take ownership creates anticipation and excitement. Let one child pick the songs, another pick a story to share. Let another child come up with a game or activity, and another one pick the treat. Now, I have to admit, when we homeschooled, it felt like family home evening all the time. We were together more than most families. But I can see the value behind safeguarding a specific time for the whole family to get together, especially in today's society. God gave us a Sabbath so that at least one day a week, we could rest from all our labors and reconnect with Him. I see the same intention by setting a specific time each week to be sure and step back from everything else and reconnect as a family. It doesn't have to be on Monday. It just works for us because so many of our friends have set aside the same night. Do share stories of family members and ancestors. These stories are how children gain a sense of identity and belonging that will reach far into the eternities. By strengthening these core family relationships, instead of stressing over socialization, the world won't seem so scary, and your children will be more likely to be true to the values you have tried to instill. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow agrees with that, and here is a poem he wrote called Home Song. Stay, stay at home, my heart, and rest. Home-keeping hearts are happiest. For those that wander they know not where are full of trouble and full of care. To stay at home is best. Weary and homesick and distressed, they wander east, they wander west, and are baffled and beaten and blown about by the winds of the wilderness of doubt. To stay at home is best. Then stay at home, my heart, and rest. The bird is safest in its nest. O'er all that flutter their wings and fly, a hawk is hovering in the sky. To stay at home is best. Bye-bye. See you next time.